If you're sitting on the inside of the pews, would you please take the friendship register and pass it, sign it, pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there is a couple of announcements I want to bring attention to. Is one Wednesday night Bible study. Don't forget that. And if you haven't participated in the Wednesday night study, I really encourage you to come and do so. It's great study. Okay? Also, as of this morning, we have now an FM broadcast of our service, which will be broadcast out on a FM channel. I can't remember the channel. 87.7. And if you're within, a mile radius of the church, you can actually sit in your car and pick up and listen to the service live, okay? So that's something that we got up and running effective this morning. So hopefully there's some people in the parking lot, and I'm going to check with them after service, see how well it worked.
Okay? Yeah, there's quite a few out there, Bob.
So,
there's quite a few out there, and I have an announcement, too.
I know Tom and Catherine Gibson are out there. Tim and Leanne Adams are listening in the parking lot. And I can't remember who else.
Paul and Pat Tindall are out there.
Yeah, Paul and Pat Tindall.
Don's out there.
Don Ferguson, yeah. So, hopefully it'll be well worth the investment that the church did.
Hey,
and
Bob,
Kathy Matheson has an announcement.
Bob, while we're on that subject, the ones out in the parking lot in the cars, they are may hear some volume up and down, or because I'll be adjusting this FM on this mixer for each mic that we have in this sanctuary. And if you hear hear a voice in here, just bear with me, because I'm on the phone with Tim Adams, and he's the ones telling me whether it sounds good or not. I'm gonna try to be as quiet as I can, but
okay.
We have to just bear with us until we get this all set up.
Well, we'll work the kinks out of it. This is first morning of doing it, so it's normal. You have some glitches up and down. So, Kathy?
Yeah. I just wanted to let you all know that David and I served at the VRQ last night, and we served between 120 and 130 veterans last night. And they're still doing the carry-out things, but he said that Wednesday at lunchtime, they're going to try to do a smaller capacity of people. They're going to break them up into groups of 30 and have them in the cafeteria, spaced out, and so they can kind of get back to a normal routine. But they had a really good supper last night. They had meatloaf, corn on the cob, green beans, and a salad. And it was nice to see the men. They came through and we spoke to them and everything, and they were very appreciative of all that we do. But hopefully maybe the next time we go to serve, it'll be back to normal. But he said he'd let me know. So.
I want to make an announcement because I'm asking for prayer for the church again. Another aspect of technology is we have a new website about ready to launch. And we need your prayers to make sure it can be launched. We're hoping for the end of next week. It's a really cool site. It's really developed nicely. It's got some glorious pictures in it. You know? So it's a wonderful site. So what I want you to do, oh, and also we still have the online donation. So those of you who don't want to write checks anymore, you can go online, make a fabulous contribution to our church, and you can do it even on the old site now too. But please keep this website in your prayers, because we want it to be able to not only reach our members but to reach other people too. So a lot of work has gone into it. Walt has done a lot of writing, and we've gone through a lot of pictures to make sure we're getting some good quality stuff, and Adam Brooks, who is the web developer, has done a fantastic job. So just keep all that in your prayers for us. Thanks.
Any other announcements? Okay, if not, would you take your bulletin and turn to the inside front cover, and let's do the unison reading that's printed there together. Okay? And it reads,
"The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him."
Our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed here in your bulletin. Please stand and let's sing it together. "I worship you, Almighty God."
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning humbly asking that your presence be here with us. We ask, Lord, that you bless each and every person that's here and all those that are listening, Lord, and just help us as a church to overcome all the anxiety and fears and trials of our day-to-day life and just keep our eyes focused on you. Forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 8. Number 8, We Praise Thee, O God, Our Redeemer.
Seated. If you would take your bulletin, let's turn to the inside cover and do the shorter catechism questions that are printed there. This morning we're going to do 76, 77, and 78. Question 76, which is the ninth commandment?
The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
What is required in the ninth commandment?
Requires the maintaining and promoting of truth between one another and of our own and our neighbor's good name, especially in witness bearing.
What is forbidden in the ninth commandment?
The ninth commandment forbids whatsoever is prejudicial to truth or injurious to our own or our neighbor's good name.
Now please turn in your hymnal to number 120. Number 120, Jesus Shall Reign.
Thank you.
As we come to the time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Luke verse 38, chapter 6, verse 38. And it reads, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
Oh,
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings to you for your storehouse. We ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver, Lord, and help us as a church to use them to further your kingdom, both here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
You know, the song that the choir just sang was very appropriate, going to lay down our burdens. And it seems like in this year 2020, we've been laying down a lot of them. Probably a lot of you know that there was an earthquake this morning. And that earthquake was 5.1 on the Richter scale, and that was Sparta, North Carolina, as its epicenter. And, you know, you just have to stop and say, what else is going to happen in 2020? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a tsunami coming or something. But anyway, we do have the opportunity to pray about these things and to lift these up to the Lord, and that's what we want to do right now. So let's bow as we come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that with all these things taking place, that we know that there is no confusion in your kingdom. None of this takes you by surprise. And Lord, that in your kingdom that there is peace and there is order. And Lord, we long for that here as we seek to negotiate all of these different problems and struggles that we're going through. And Lord, we certainly pray for our nation, for the United States of America, and for the division that's separating us as Christians and as believers, and separating us as citizens of this great country. And Lord, we ask and pray that your hand would be at work to unify us once again. Lord, we would love to say one nation under God and mean it with all of our heart. But we know that that's not possible with men. But with you, all things are possible. So we call upon you as our Lord and as our God, and we ask you, Father, help us in these times. Our Father, we ask and pray for those who are struggling today with difficulties and with problems. We pray for those who are dealing with physical issues. Lord, we pray for Annie DeHart this morning. Ask you, Lord, that you'd continue to heal her leg, her knee, and that you would help her through this time. Father, for others that right now are dealing with physical pain and with problems, Father, as our great physician, we ask that you would intervene by your Holy Spirit and bring health and healing. Father, for those who are struggling with emotional problems and with difficulties, maybe financial issues, with family issues, Lord, we call upon you as our Lord and as our God and ask you to help to intercede on our behalf. We ask your Holy Spirit to intercede with groanings too deep for words. And Father, again, we pray for these special needs that have been requested here in our bulletin for our missionaries of this week. Lord, we pray for Bruce and Pam Sinclair, mission to the world in Uganda, with this training center for pastors. And Lord, we ask that you would give them great freedom and great wisdom to know how to deal with these situations in Uganda, a land that's being overtaken by Muslims. And we ask, Lord, that the name of Jesus Christ might be lifted up instead. We also pray for the persecuted church in Lebanon. And Lord, the struggles that Lebanon has been through this week with this giant explosion, for the many people that have lost their lives and have been injured and are homeless. Lord, we cry out to you and ask that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and that those people might benefit from your gracious and loving hand. We also pray, Father, for the Western Carolina Rescue Ministries and pray that you would give them not only the financial help that they need, but Lord, also opportunities to bless those who are in need. And Father, we pray again for our church, for Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. We pray that you would continue to hold us together as your people, as your church family. We pray for those who are listening right now over the FM radio. And Lord, we ask that you would cause their hearts to be lifted up to you as you do here in this sanctuary. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen us and help us to be the church and the people that you've called us to be. And we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 380. And we'll stand and sing this together. Number 380, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 and reading verses 3 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 9. And hear now the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, all of us are aware of the struggles that we're going through right now as a nation. We understand many of the consequences of the lockdown that we've been through and the quarantine that some have had to go through. And we recognize that many of these things are important to try to stem the spread of this virus. But we also realize that all of these actions have counteractions. All of these things that we're doing to try to protect ourselves also have side effects, and we have to deal with these side effects. Now, there is a long-term effect to our dealing with this COVID-19. I mean, who could have foreseen any of this happening, even 2 or 3 months ago? Think back 6 months ago. Think back until the end of February and early March. And think about what we were doing then and what our dreams were and what we were hoping for and how so many of those things have absolutely changed. I heard a man just the other day saying he didn't realize back in March that would be the last time that he could eat in a restaurant for 6 months. He said, if I'd known that, I would have ordered dessert. But it does have a psychological impact. In fact, this is being recognized by many of our professionals, our health professionals. And I have an article here that comes from the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA. And this is recognized as one of the authoritative sources. And it talks about the consequences of social distancing and how they tend to increase the risk of suicide among people. A greater issue, the death through suicide. And so they put out this paper trying to say these are some things that we need to be careful of. For one thing, we have to watch out for economic stress. And that is the number of people that are suffering economically because of the shutdown and because of the coronavirus. People that have lost their jobs, businesses that have had to shut down completely. And I read recently that 70% of the businesses that have shut down will never reopen. This has a tremendous impact, not just on the business owners, but on their employees. So it's causing a great economic stress, and I know that it's being felt. It's trickling down, and people are feeling the effects of this. There's also the effects of social isolation. And I want to read this to you. This comes right out of the Journal of American Medical Association. It says, suicidal thoughts and behaviors are associated with social isolation and loneliness. Therefore, from a suicide prevention perspective, it is concerning that the most critical public health strategy for COVID-19 crisis is social distancing. Basically, what they're saying is that the social distancing is causing people to lose touch with one another, and we need that social interaction of being together. Another area, these are three basic areas that they talk about. Another is the decreased access to community and religious support. And they say here, weekly attendance at religious services has been associated with a fivefold lower suicide rate compared with those who do not attend. Now, did you pick up on that? the people that are attending services, weekly attendance at religious services, that it's decreased their suicide rate fivefold. Now, why is that? There's only one reason for it, and that's hope. It's because instead of being hopeless, we're being filled with hope as we come together and realize that our God is bigger than COVID-19. Our God is bigger than the struggles that we're facing here in America. Our God is alive, and He's here, and He's with us. So as part of this, I feel like that all of this is part of a well-designed plan to shut us down and to destroy us. Now, if you've been listening week by week, you know that we're dealing with the whole issue of spiritual warfare. And I've said it again and again, that is that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. This isn't because of this individual or this group or that group. What we're dealing with is a master plan that's set about by our great enemy. And that's what Paul was talking about. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And, you know, and we feel like that we're so far above all of this in our intellectual thinking that how can you blame the devil for everything? That sounds like Flip Wilson. You know, the devil made me do it. No, we can laugh all we want to, but the truth of the matter is that we have a great enemy. And that great enemy has the desire to destroy us, to destroy our nation, to destroy our church, and to destroy us individually. And he's never varied from that. That's his stated plan. And he's always said that. We are in a life and death struggle. We may not want to admit it, but we are. And our enemy is doing the very best he can to fulfill his part of that. And that is to bring whatever into our lives he can to destroy us. Now, how can we protect ourselves? Well, again, week by week, we've looked at spiritual armor that God has given us. You know, we read, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, and it says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." What he's saying is that we are given spiritual weapons to help us defeat a spiritual enemy. I am not a proponent for arming ourselves and going out into the streets to defend what we believe and what we trust in, because I think we're aiming it at the wrong enemy. It's a spiritual enemy, and we have to fight him with spiritual weapons. And that's why we've looked from week to week at the different pieces of armor that Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 to 18, especially verses 14 to 18, where he lists the different pieces of armor. And looking at this Roman soldier and taking the different pieces and relating them to spiritual counterparts. And he's saying that these things are primarily effective, superbly effective in dealing with the enemy and what the enemy does in our lives. So we look at these pieces of armor, and this week, the piece of armor that we're looking at is the helmet of salvation. The goal of the enemy has always been to destroy us, and part of the way that he destroys us is by getting us to align ourselves with him in the way we think. There was a book out that came out some time ago. It was called The Battle for the Mind. And in this book, it said that the greatest tool that the enemy has is the ability to deceive us in our thinking, to twist us around and make us think the way that he thinks. His purpose is always to destroy us. So he gets us to side with him and think with him. And by doing that, he can strip us of our hope. Back some years ago, I had the opportunity to work with severely and profoundly retarded children, young people. And this was at Sunland Training Center in Miami, Florida. I was a student at University of Miami, and I was in something called music therapy. And so we would use music to help bring out some of these severely and profoundly retarded children. And I learned many things. I did that for 3 months. I learned many things during that internship there at Sunland Training Center. One of the things that I saw was a syndrome that would appear in children, and it was called the failure to thrive syndrome. They called it FTS, the FTS syndrome. And the failure to thrive syndrome would affect children in one way, and that is all of a sudden they would become listless, they would not respond to anything, and they would slowly begin to deteriorate until they finally died. And it was horrible to watch, and I watched it on several occasions. And you know, when all of a sudden one of the people that I would work with wasn't there, and I would ask, well, what's happened? What's happened to this individual? And they say, well, unfortunately, he has failure to thrive syndrome. And I can remember going in and looking at them, and it was almost the pronouncement of death, because every time a person would get into that, there wasn't any cure for it. And so they would die. We see, this is what the enemy wants to produce in us. He wants to produce this failure to thrive syndrome spiritually in us, so that we get to the point where we don't want to continue to try. We don't want to continue to fight the battle. We just want to give up. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the battle. And what he says is that even though all these things happened to me in my life, I didn't give up. I continued to stand firm. And that's why he can tell us about this battle that we're fighting with our enemy. Having done all, stand firm. Don't give in. Don't give up. Continue to fight. So he gives us these pieces of armor, and the one that we're looking at today is this helmet. Well, we all know what a helmet is, and I imagine we can picture in our minds a Roman soldier decked out in all of his different apparel, and on top of his head he has this helmet. And the helmet was there to protect his head, which was the center for all life-sustaining functions. It's one thing to be stabbed in the leg or the arm or to be cut somewhere, but when something happens to the head, everything in the body is affected. The spiritual helmet that Paul's talking about here protects our minds. It protects our will to live, our will to survive, the desire to stand firm no matter what happens. You know, in Job, the book of Job, we read this. In Job chapter 13, verse 12, he says, though you slay me, I will hope in you. Though you slay me, I will hope in you. No matter what happens to me in life, I don't care what I have to go through, I'm not going to give up. You know, Job is a good example. Job was sitting on top of the world, had everything, and little by little, everything was stripped away from him to the point that he was sitting on the ground in great pain and agony, and people were mocking him. Even his own wife turned away from him. And she said, Job, curse God and die. And Job said, I will not curse God and die. Though he slay me, still will I trust him. Still will I follow him. So why the helmet of salvation? We can understand the helmet protecting our thoughts, you know, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We can see that. But why the helmet of salvation? We see our salvation provides the foundation for our hope. People without salvation in the Lord, people that aren't saved in the Lord, have no hope. Paul shares this with us. This 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. It says this. Chapter 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. says this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." What he's talking about is that the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, by placing our faith and our trust in him, gives us hope in life. It's the hope of the resurrection. It's the power to know that God is in control, that God loves us and he promises to take care of us and watch over us. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And you know what? Those things aren't put aside because of COVID-19. God is continuing to watch over us and to protect us. And I do think that it's wise to take certain precautions. But when all is said and done, we can take all the precautions that the world offers and still get COVID-19. It's the Lord ultimately that protects us and watches over us and keeps us from these evils. It's because we belong to him, because he gave his life that we might have life. And because of that, we're his family, and he loves us, and he puts his arms around us, and he protects us from our enemy. That salvation becomes our foundation. Those who have no salvation have no hope. They have no hope. So what do we mean by hope? You know, we all have our own idea. You know, there's a certain worldly kind of a hope that's based on uncertainty. You know, people say, well, I hope that comes true. I hope it doesn't rain today. Or I hope I get a raise someday. Or it's always based on some uncertain factor. But see, that's not the hope of the Bible. That's not the hope that Paul talks about. Paul talks about a fixed hope, something that is sure because it's given to us by God. It's a promise of God. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And the writer of Hebrews says this, "For we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." This is our hope. Our hope is based on the foundation of our belief and trust in Jesus Christ. And that provides that helmet that protects our minds, protects our thoughts. It helps us to stand firm no matter what we see. See, this is why we're told to walk by faith and not by sight. Because we can look out and see terrible things in front of us. Do you remember the story of Elijah when his servant came to him and they were surrounded by the armies of the enemy? And the servant was terrified. And Elijah said, "Don't be distressed, because those who are with us are greater than those who are with them." And I'm sure the servant looked around and he said, "There's only a handful of people here." And Elijah prayed and he said, "Lord, open up his eyes and let him see." And the servant's eyes, Gehazi, the servant's eyes were opened up and he saw the chariots of fire that were all around them protecting them. That's why we're told not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. We can look out right now and see cities that are in great turmoil, cities that are being terrorized and burned. And we can say, is that going to happen here? Will that happen to our homes and to our church? Is that what we're going to go through? He who is with us is greater than he who is in the world. We can place our trust and our faith in him. And that's that helmet that protects us. It's so distressing to hear about people who have no hope at all and they end up taking their lives. You know, in my years of ministry, I've had to do funerals for several people, not a lot, but several, who have taken their lives. And it is so painful to do that. One was a 16-year-old girl. And it's so distressing. And the only reason that happens is because they can't see beyond a certain point. They have no hope. And they end their life. This is why we have this protection. because the Lord knew that when we went into this world, that we were going to be like sheep among wolves, that there would be those who would stand against us, that the world would hate us. And Jesus told his disciples, don't be surprised when the world hates you, because they hated me. And so we can look at all that and begin to lose hope. And I know that there are many people today who are losing hope. They're losing ground. And the longer that this shutdown and everything continues, the more people lose hope. That's why this Journal of the American Medical Association put out this article. They're warning not only people, but they're warning doctors and medical workers to be on the alert for this, because people are just coming unglued. You know what? As a believer in Jesus Christ, we don't have to come unglued, because we have a firm foundation. And it all points back to our salvation in Jesus Christ. He has chosen us to be His own. And for that reason, no matter what we see with our eyes, no matter what we're experiencing out on the streets, we have a fixed hope that God is watching over us and He's taking care of us, and He always will. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, he says, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." I don't know how all this is going to end. Nobody does. I don't know when it's going to end. But I do know that through it all, God will be with us, that He will protect us, that He'll watch over us, because we're His. We belong to Him. And we've got that helmet of salvation on our heads. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful that we have a God who loves us and will never forsake us. Lord, whatever You're calling on us to go through, we pray that You would give us the strength to stand firm, to not give in to fear, to not give in to anger or to corruption, or to stand firm in our belief and our trust in You. Father, I pray for each person hearing this message today, and ask, Lord, that You would give us a heart to follow after You. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
And our hymn of response this morning is printed on an insert in your bulletin. For some reason, the publishers of our hymnal do not include this hymn in it. I don't know why. But we found it in another hymnal, and we're going to sing it this week and next week and the week after also, as a response to these messages about the that Walt is bringing to us. So please stand and let's sing these first three verses of Onward Christian Soldiers, and then we'll sing the fourth verse for a benediction response.
Christ, Lord.
benediction. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.